listening to the rousing overture to the abduction from the Seraglio, music of Mozart. The Huntsville Symphony Orchestra continues its journey in its next classical concert as we go to Turkey, as imagined by Mozart. So happy to welcome back to the WLRH studios, Gregory Voita. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Welcome back to Huntsville. You brought some crummy weather with you too.
Yeah, yeah. You keep saying that. It wasn't me. It's you guys. I arrive and then there's the winter.
I think, yeah, it has something to do with the fact that it is the end of January. The concert is January 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall, but this will be a bright, sunny musical.
Absolutely, yes.
And Mozart wrote in a letter to his father that overture that we were just listening to, he says, I don't think they'll be able to go to sleep through it, even if they haven't slept the night before. And Mozart was mimicking the sounds of the Turkish band. So what is that? I heard a lot of triangles in that. What else is involved in that?
Well, it's some special percussion instruments to start with, but also the oboe imitating the Turkish pipe is in there. I mean, these instruments were actually military instruments. Mm-hmm. They were loud, really loud. They were supposed to scare the enemy. So
they're not as scary as bagpipes, though.
I'm not scared of bagpipes. But actually, it's the same function. So bagpipes were invented for, mm-hmm. For the same reason, as that's why they are so loud. So you can hear them from far away. So these practically what they called Turkish music back then in Vienna was what they knew as the Turkish military music, with those instruments and the loud percussion instruments. And of course, using these sound colors immediately put the audience in Turkey, where the opera is happening.
And Mozart himself never went to Turkey, but he was exposed to the music.
Yes, everybody was exposed to the music. It was kind of like, Hungarian rondo and the Turkish music. It was kind of all mixed up. You know, it was coming from the east, and all Austrians and Germans kind of knew when they heard the sound what to think. Of course, Turkish people traveled to Vienna, so there mm-hmm. was not only a political and cultural connection, but also the music was present.
And it was sort of trendy at the time. There are trends in music now, just as there were trends during Mozart's time, and Turkish was kind of the thing at the time. And he also had commercial reasons for composing this piece.
He always had commercial reasons. I mean, he was, one of the first composers who actually had to make a living in the market, a free market, if you will, when support of noble people was going away, or he didn't want to take it. And he had to compose pieces that were, well received by the audience, so mm-hmm. they would buy tickets, of course, and ticket sales was an important part of this whole music business back then.
And part of the business was appealing to a wider audience. And when you think of a Mozart opera, we tend to think of the Italianate formal opera. But this is something a little bit different. It's sung in German, and there's a different expression for it. It's a Singspiel.
It's a Singspiel, a song play, if you wish. I mean, it is practically a musical, because what happens is you have numbers sung by one or two or all of the singers. There are even two short choral numbers in the opera. But everything else is spoken words. Mm-hmm. So there's no so-called recitativo. If you remember, that's like kind of like the musical talking accompanied by a cello and the keyboard instrument. So this is not in this opera. We have actually two or three recitativos, but they're so-called accompagnato, accompanied. Mm-hmm. So it's all composed through. It sounds like it's part of the aria. But really what happens is there's talking, and then there's singing, and then there's talking, and then there's singing.
And it's easy to follow.
It's very easy to follow.
Terribly
story,
complicated.
Yes.
There's only six characters, along with the janissaries. The chorus folks will be played by the Huntsville Community Chorus and members of the Calhoun Chorale. So just a very few characters, and there's no identity switching and cross-dressing and mass confusion like there tends to be in a lot of Mozart operas.
It's an easy to follow plot, and also there is not much character development in the opera. I mean, these are very simple characters, and a simple message. It's, you know, love rules. That's mm-hmm. practically what it's all about. But great, gorgeous music. And it's very funny. I mean these duets and quartets when these characters interact with each other are just written in an amazing, genius way.
And there are some tender moments, too. And I think that Mozart really brought a lot of himself into this musical in particular, because the heroine has the same name as his beloved. He was about to get engaged or close to being engaged to Constanze Weber. And then there's this Constanze in the musical as well. So in this particular aria that Belmonte sings, you can almost hear Mozart calling out for Constanze. Belmonte is pining for his Constanze, who's been abducted by pirates and taken to the seraglio, or the harem. She was abducted along with his servant, Pedrillo, and her servant, Blondie. So there's three of them stuck in the harem, and Belmonte has come to rescue them, and he's singing this long song.
You just said it was not a complicated plot.
It's not. It's not that complicated. There's pirates in a harem, and then there's the Pasha, who has a non-singing role.
Indeed, the Pasha is usually played by an actor, and we have Ron Roberts doing the Pasha's role mm-hmm. and actually being the narrator at the same time. Since we're doing this opera in a concert version, I decided that we would just cut all the conversation between the characters, so the singers won't be speaking.
Okay.
The whole story is told by Ron mm-hmm. as the Pasha himself, and I encouraged him to add some. You know Ron.
I mean,
I want him to do what he does best, and yeah. These Singspiels were kind of like. If I can go that far, they were kind of like cabaret, you know. They were kind of like
sort of precursor to musical theater.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, to be a little less formal and turn it a little bit into, you know, contemporary, just like we're talking to the audience, I think it's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. And how will it be staged? Will there be costumes and props, or just people on stage? What's it going to look like?
It's going to look colorful. We added some colors to it. But other than that, there's no turbans or I know, I'm sorry.
No curly slippers.
Well, unless Ron puts something on that I can't, it's out of my control, then maybe.
Hunter may have some.
Yes, exactly. Hunter has some fun costumes, that's for sure.
And there are just some delightful moments in the play. We're talking about there's a quartet where I don't want to give away the whole plot, but they find each other in the Seraglio, and Belmonte gets in, and of course there's a misunderstanding. There's always a misunderstanding. Pedrillo gets whomped upside the head by Blunt, and then they all sing a song.
Although I did say that there's no character development, but the characters are very much layered. I mean, they're not the complexity is not missing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Osman as well, the Turkish guy who's, you know, supposed to have Blonde, but he can't. And also Constanze. These characters are very interesting. And, mm-hmm. and this quartet, I mean, you know, you always know in theory that, yes, we know Mozart was a genius. But then when you study or restudy a piece like I did with this Mozart opera, it's just amazing. This quartet number 16 that we're just going to be listening to is a fairly long number with a lot of different musical materials mm-hmm. in it, and it's just a perfect way to put interpersonal things into music. I mean, it's just really a work of a genius how they switch their opinion, how, you know, it goes from sad to happy mm-hmm. and then from accusing her or, you know, it's just really, really and truly amazing.
We'll listen to the tail end of it. You need to hear the whole thing, but you can hear it this Saturday evening beginning at 7:30. Of the opera, everything is okay, but then it's an opera, so and to the end of Act Two.
Yes,
so.
Indeed.
There's more to come. We mentioned Ron Roberts playing the Pasha and the narrator in this production of The Abduction from the Seraglio. We have another well-known soprano in the cast, Christy Weber, who plays Blonda, and Jennifer Bryant is Constanza, who teaches voice at Birmingham Southern at Montevallo, where my son is in school right now. And she was involved with Georgia Bottoms,
That's
too.
That's right. We actually have three singers who mm-hmm. were involved with Georgia Bottoms.
Daniel Weeks. Who plays Belmonte. And Aaron Sorensen, is that correct?
Aaron Sorensen, yes.
Did you know that he was on the 2014 Barra Hunks calendar?
Actually, I know it from Facebook, of course, from where else. But yes, I do know that.
And Nathan Munson plays Pedrillo. He is a singer from the Atlanta area. And yeah, Aaron Sorensen, he has an interesting character. This Osmin is sort of he's a comic character. He's a comic bully.
Yeah, well, he's the Turkish guy who, wants to own Blonde. You know, this is, of course, a clash of cultures a little bit here. It's like, how do you treat women is one of the major themes of this opera. And Blonde, the English girl, is actually giving a lesson to her assigned husband, Osmin, how not to treat a lady and how to treat a lady. It's actually a pretty funny aria. And he's trying to learn it. You know, the whole thing is like the Pasha and Osmin, they want these girls to love them for who they are, and it doesn't happen. So that's the major problem there. It's like they're not making them to become their wives, but rather they would prefer the ladies to just fall for them, which is not happening because both ladies already have a sweetheart that and the guys are coming to get them from the seraglio, of
course. And there's some cultural differences too. Because the Pasha is used to having whoever he wants at his disposal, and the women have to submit to him, but Constanza doesn't. And, of course, that leads to more confusion with Belmonte when he comes to pick her up. And, well, you have to see the show. And there's a really funny moment with Osmin and Pedrillo.
Well, there are several funny moments, but the one you were talking about is practically a drinking duet. Mm-hmm. And it's a wine song, and they talk. They sing about Bacchus, the god of drunk people, if you wish, and of course it's a praise for good wine and how that makes life so much better.
Bacchus, lebe, Bacchus, war ein braver Mann. Ob ich's wage, ob ich trinke, ob's wohl alles sehen kann.
Was hilft das Saugen, das Saugen? Hinunter, nicht lange gefragt.
Nun wär's geschehen, nun wär's hinunter. Das heiß ich gewagt.
Es leben die Mädchen, die Blonden, die Braunen, die Blonden, die Braunen. Sie leben hoch. Das schmeckt trefflich. Das heiß ich Götterdrang.
Viva Bacchus, Bacchus, lebe Bacchus, lebe meine Hand.
Viva Bacchus, Bacchus, lebe Bacchus, lebe meine Hand. Viva Bacchus, Bacchus, lebe.
Es leben die Mädchen, die Blonden, die Braunen, sie leben.
Viva Bacchus, Viva Bacchus, lebe meine Hand.
They're having a grand time. You're saying that we're going to edit out the chatty parts. There is actually speaking in this recording.
Well, what's going to happen is the singers are going to be singing in German, and we have supertitles in English. Mm-hmm. And Ron Roberts is going to be speaking English.
That's good to know,
right? No supertitles needed.
So, again, I don't think you'll get lost between Ron Roberts narrating the supertitles and the fairly simple plot. I think it's just fun.
It's just a lot of fun, and it's lighthearted, yet it's beautiful music. It's lyrical at some points, but most of it is just funny. This is a comic opera, and we shall remember that this is, there's an argument if it's the most popular opera or the most played opera by Mozart or the second most played opera. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, you know, Magic Flute, of course, mm-hmm. but this is, if not number one, but number two. So there must be a reason why this is played so much around the world.
And I would think this would be a good introduction to the opera. If you've never been to an opera before, this might be a nice way to wade into it and get familiar with the tunes and just see how much fun people can have with it.
Absolutely. And you know, the problem with opera is that you always have to tell the story. So you have to get through a lot of singing to get the story. Well, here in the Singspiel style, especially the way we do it is that the way that Ron, you know, kind of tells you what's going to happen in the next two or three numbers and then get on with the story, it speeds it up a whole lot. And it also gives you a chance to realize how arias and ensembles in operas, they kind of a musical picture of a situation, and then you get to enjoy what Mozart does with the music and how music can add a lot to these characters and to the situation on stage.
And if you don't want to come out on a Saturday evening, there'll be an open rehearsal on Saturday.
That's right, at 11 o'clock.
And it's not expensive to get in. And a pre-concert lecture, will you be doing that as well?
Yes, as always, we do it an hour before the concert, yes.
So there's no reason not to know what's going on in this opera.
Yes, I mean, even if you don't read it before you come, or you don't come to the pre-concert talk, which is going to be a lot of fun because it's going to be Ron and myself mm-hmm. doing it. But it'll be easy to follow with the supertitles and with the narration, and so you don't have to study it in advance.
If you want to, I found an easy, quick way to do that. I found this documentary online called Mozart in Turkey, and it's a documentary about the filming of the abduction from the Seraglio in an actual Paris in Turkey with a British cast and British director. And it was kind of fascinating.
It is. It was very interesting. I watched it too. You posted it yesterday, mm-hmm. right? It is great because it actually does tell the story of the opera, but also it gives you a chance to look behind the scenes, mm-hmm. And not only the historical background of the whole thing about Mozart and about this whole Turkish music thing in Vienna, but also how singers are preparing and
right, uh-huh.
and how they rehearse. Sir Charles Mackerras is conducting, and this whole video starts with him and two of the singers rehearsing. It's very interesting. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything, but it gives you a complete picture of how a production like that comes together.
You can find that on my station Facebook page, which is Jenny at WLRH. And this is, of course, it's the sort of midsection of the season. We have the abduction from the Seraglio in Turkey. Where is the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra taking us next?
Wow, we're going to do music of the Bond movies.
Okay.
How about that? It's coming up on February 6th. It's one of our Pops concerts, and I'm looking forward to it. Have you watched the latest one?
No, you
didn't? Oh, come on. It's a collection. Like, it's kind of like the Star Wars thing, you know? You got to watch it. I haven't seen that either. Oh, my. You have a lot of catching up to do.
I do. But you can stay caught up with what's going on at the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra by visiting their website, hso.org. More information about the upcoming concert and the rest of the season is available right there. Gregory Voida, always good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Take the bad weather with you when you go.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll see you Saturday.